is Luke chapter 19. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 19, we're going to read the first 10 verses of this chapter. It says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. He was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when he saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now this account is the beginning of the last week before the crucifixion of the Lord, and he's en route to Jerusalem. He's traveling to Jerusalem. Laying before him is all the things he's going to face: betrayal, flogging, crucifixion, all the terrible things that Jesus was going to face. But on the road to Jerusalem, he passes through Jericho. And he has this, well, I guess you could say a chance encounter, but there's no such thing as a chance encounter with the Lord. There are divinely arranged encounters that we have with the Lord. And I'm just so grateful that God arranges these kind of divine encounters that we have. And that Jesus, even though that he was headed toward crucifixion, he had the time to stop and to minister to these. You'll notice that when you go back to the last part of the previous chapter, Jesus en route to Jerusalem, he's on the outer skirts of the city of Jericho, and there he meets a man who cries out, "Lord, have mercy upon me." This was a blind man who was crying out for mercy, and the Bible says that Jesus stood still and paid attention to the need of this blind man and asked him, what do you have need of? And that I might receive my sight, he said. And the Lord said, receive your sight. Praise God. And he was healed. Now, the account that I just read to you from the next chapter, he goes just a little further into the city of Jericho, and he has another encounter, this man. You'll notice that this man, he's completely different. He's not the same kind of man at all. As a matter of fact, the blind man was a man that lived in poverty and, completely destitute, a beggar. But this man is on the complete opposite end of the spectrum. He's wealthy. He's a powerful person. He's someone that is hated because he stole from people as a tax collector. He was not just a tax collector. He was a chief of the tax collectors, which means that he was likely over a regional area and served Rome, even though he was a Jew. They considered him a traitor because he was stealing from them and exacting more taxes. And so the Lord had time for a man that was a beggar and was impoverished and on the lower end of the spectrum. But then he also had time to stop for this rich man and to minister to him as well. Now, the thing that's on my heart today is that Jesus said to this man, Zacchaeus, he said to him, today, I'm going to go to your house. I'm going to your home. I'm going to go to your house. It's an amazing thing that happens whenever Jesus comes to your house. When Jesus comes to your home, it transforms a home and a family. Amen. It goes without saying that homes and marriages are under attack, and that we're facing some serious times and have been for a long time. And right now, I have a house and I'm trying to get rented, and almost every person that comes, the families, it's just a mixed up mess of a family. And I'm just saying, Lord, send me somebody normal. Send me a normal family, because all these families have all these problems and all of these issues. And they'll say, well, this is my child by this marriage, and this is my child from that marriage. And it's the most confusing, mixed up mess that we're faced with in our world today. Because God cares about every household and every family, and he wants to come and visit. It's interesting that in the Gospels that Jesus visited homes 12 different times. 12 different times he visited families and he visited homes. And while he's there, he fellowshiped with them in some cases. He took a meal with them in some cases. He healed someone that was sick in that household. He even raised the dead in some households. But whenever Jesus visits a home, it is transformed and it is completely changed whenever Jesus comes to a family. Now, we don't really know. All we know about Zacchaeus is that he is he's short of stature. He's excited to see Jesus. Apparently, he's heard about Jesus. Now, he's a Jew, but apparently he's heard. I don't know. Maybe he heard from Matthew, who was also a tax collector. When you go back several chapters in the book of Luke, back to Luke chapter 5, Levi, who was Matthew, had that encounter with Jesus and answered the call to follow Jesus. And maybe the word was passed through all of those that were involved in tax collecting. Maybe he had heard about the transformed life of Matthew. I don't know, but you can tell that there's something going on in the mind and the heart of Zacchaeus. There's some interest. There's some curiosity. There's even some excitement to cause this man who has such a prominent position and a place of power and position to run through the streets ahead of the crowd and to climb up into a tree, which is pretty extreme. I mean, there's some interest, there's some excitement. And so I don't know, this man was a rich man, but we know what the Bible says about riches. Solomon said that riches are vain and empty, and they won't satisfy. And to have more and more and more of this world's goods, it's not going to satisfy the deepest longing of the hearts of men. And so he had all of his wealth and he had all of his riches. But I'm just convinced that that he was dissatisfied with all of those things. And he'd kind of come to the end of himself. And he's, whatever it was, whatever reason, he is stirred up. He's interested. He's curious. I'm convinced that he's interested in knowing who Jesus was and having an encounter with the Lord. But even beyond that, Jesus is more interested in knowing him than he is in knowing Jesus. When Jesus gets to right where he is, he's climbed up into this tree. The sycamore trees have these large leaves and likely a lot of foliage. He's probably up in the tree and maybe kind of hidden away up in the tree. But Jesus knows that he's there. He not only knows that he's there, but he knows his name. Isn't that amazing? That he knows his name and calls out his name. Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, it's time for you to make haste. Come down from that tree. I want to go to your house. I want to go to your home. He knew his name. Interesting enough, also his name, Zacchaeus' name means righteous one or purity. Now that's not Zacchaeus at all. I mean, he's a thief. He's taking advantage of people. The crowd called him a sinner, that Jesus was going to have a meal with a sinner and going to have fellowship with a sinner. So he was probably despised for his wicked ways and his taking advantage of people. But his name, Zacchaeus, meant righteous one or pure one. You see, the Lord doesn't just know who you are. He knows what you can be. He knows the potential of your life. You might be in your sin and you might be living a life that isn't pleasing to the Lord and disobedience to the Lord. But the Lord knows who you are and he knows your name. And he knows the potential of your life. He knows what you could be if you would just give your life over to him. If you would just surrender to the Lord from this day forward. He knows not only does he know your name, but he knows what you could be and what you can be if you will just commit yourself to the Lord. Kind of like Jeremiah. Jeremiah, before I knew thee in your mother's belly, before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. I want all of you to be reminded today that God knows your name and he knows who you are. And he knows who you could be if you would just surrender your heart and your life over to the Lord. Amen. Another interesting thing about this story to me is that Jesus invited himself over. Amen. Amen. Now that's pretty much not our culture at all in America. If someone invites themselves over, it's not too well received if that happens. But Jesus is inviting himself to your house. He's inviting himself to your home. He wants to come in to your home and transform it and make it into something that would bring glory and honor to his name. He wants to come. That's why he visited in the New Testament 12 different homes, because everywhere that he went, it was transforming. He changed the lives of the people that resided in that home. And he can do that for you today as well. If Jesus is wanting, if he's knocking on the door of your home, just like he did there in Revelation chapter 3, that he's knocking on the door. If a man will just open unto me and allow me to come in, I'll come in and I'll sup with him. I'll fellowship with him. And if you'll just, he's standing at the door, wanting to come in to your household, to come into your family, into your home, if you will just allow him to do that. Amen. You know that just one person who allows the Lord into their life can transform a family. It's true. It can change the whole direction of your family. If one person in that household allows the Lord to come in. Remember Acts chapter 16, that jailer, that when he thought that he was going to be killed because of the disciples that were set free from that jail. And he said, what must I do to be saved? He's fearing for his life. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and your house. Just one man that day who answered the call, who invited the Lord into his home, and the family and the home was completely transformed. Amen. I believe in the power of one family member coming to the Lord. Amen. It opens the door to the Lord to come in and to begin to transform that marriage and transform that family and that home. If you'll just open up your heart and open up your home to the things of the Lord. I experienced it personally in my growing up years. My mother got saved when I was just a little boy. She was about 21 years old and was born again and was changed and transformed. And it transformed our household. Completely transformed the direction of our family. Even though my dad wasn't a Christian, it still made such an impact upon our family. 1 Corinthians 7:14, it says, "For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband." Now, that doesn't mean that if the wife gets saved, that the husband is just automatically saved, or vice versa. It just means that this sanctifying influence enters into the family. This sanctifying power comes into the household and into the family. And that's what happened in my family as I was just a little boy growing up and my mother got saved, and suddenly the things of God became important. The Bible became an important part of our family. The things of God were an important part of our family. My dad was a country western singer. He loved country and western music. I'm talking Hank Williams, Hank Snow. All, I'm talking about the old school country people. Those were the ones. If they were a really good singer, he didn't like them. He liked those old school country guys. And that's what he listened to when my mom and dad first got married. It was all this Hank Williams and all this kind of country music. But when my mom got saved, everything changed. Everything changed. Now, it's not that my dad didn't still like that music. I'm sure he listened to it when he had the chance in the car or wherever. But in the household, it didn't come in. And I don't remember that my mom and dad ever had any real conversation about it. It was just suddenly it was gospel music. And I was raised up on good gospel music being played in the household because my household was sanctified by a mother that had gotten born again. And when you invite the Lord into your family, and I know that sometimes one member, one half of a family or one half of a couple will think, "Well, I can't get saved and serve the Lord because my husband wouldn't want to, or my wife wouldn't want to serve the Lord." I just want to encourage you today that if you'll surrender to the Lord and invite him into your family and into your home, it can have a mighty effect upon your household. Amen. And God can do that and sanctify the household and cause the family to be the home to be a place where God is glorified and honored. Amen. Zacchaeus' house was transformed to the point that Jesus said, "This day is salvation come to this household." Salvation has come to this home. Notice some of the things that became the characteristics of his family now. The Bible says when he came down out of that tree, he received him joyfully. He received him joyfully. One of the characteristics of a household and a family that's invited Jesus into that family is there's a newfound joy in the household. Amen. That you don't have otherwise. I understand that there's a certain level of happiness in homes and families, even those that don't know the Lord. But remember, happiness is dependent upon happenings. So that means if everything is going good, you're happy and everything's good. But when things aren't going so good, well, happiness goes out the window. But joy is different. Joy is something very deep that comes from the Lord. And whenever joy enters into your household, joy is there whenever things are going good, and joy is there whenever things are not so good, because you have a divine source of joy, and that comes from the Lord. So it doesn't matter what the outward circumstances are. you can still have the joy of the Lord in your household. Amen. You can have joy. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Whenever the Lord comes into your house and into your home, there is a joy that has a deep source that is not changed by the worst of circumstances. You still can have the joy of the Lord. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord can strengthen you and help you and can be a source to your home and your family. When things are not good, when you're going through trials or trouble or sorrow or grief or whatever that it might be, the joy of the Lord can remain strong in your life. Amen. He came down out of that tree with joy and responded to Jesus with great joy. Amen. Verse 8. When Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Another thing that takes place in a family that allows the Lord into the household is suddenly you're not selfish anymore. You are not self-centered anymore, but you're caring and you're compassionate and you're generous. You become a giver. Amen. I understand there are people out in the world that are generous and are givers, but there's just something about a person that knows the Lord and invites the Lord. There's a newfound gratitude in your heart, and you want to be used of the Lord as a compassionate, caring, giving person. And so here is this guy that's out for himself, Zacchaeus, that all he cares about is getting a little bit more money out of people to the point that everyone in the crowd hates him and call him a sinner for his thievery against them. And suddenly he's transformed and he is saying, I'm going to give half of what I have to the poor. Wow. Wow. Now salvation has come to his household because suddenly he is caring about people that are in need. And he has this generous spirit and generous caring heart for people. You invite Jesus into your household, into your family, into your home, and it can transform your family to no longer be all wrapped up in yourself and what you have and what you can accumulate, but a household where a family can be concerned and be willing to give and to share and to minister and be generous. Amen. To have a generous spirit and a generous heart. That's what happened to Zacchaeus when he let Jesus come into his household. What does the Bible say about generosity and giving? Well, a lot. I'll just mention a couple of verses. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. There's a wonderful principle that whenever you begin to pour out and you begin to give and you become generous and caring about others in their need, God is going to make sure that your supply is replenished. Amen. You just give out and care, give caring and minister to people in need. God has promised, I'm going to restore your supply. I'm going to make sure you have what you need to be that channel to minister to people and to give and to share. Amen. I've noticed people who say, well, I just can't afford to give or to help other people. I can't afford to do it. You can't afford not to. Amen. As a Christian, we can't afford not to. Our households should be the most generous households in the community. Where we see people in need, we reach out. When we see an opportunity to bless someone, we're willing to do it. We want to give to them. We want to bless them. We want to encourage them and do what we can. Let me tell you, Zacchaeus, this young publican that was so wrapped up in getting a little bit more of this world's goods and was transformed because Jesus came to his house. Amen. You invite the Lord into your home, things are going to change. His house was full of joy. His house was a place of caring, compassion, and generosity. Praise God. But not only that, notice what he says also in that verse number 8. The half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything that from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Now remember, he's a Jew, so no doubt he has had some training in the law of God. He knows the word of God, but it's probably been a long time since he's had any real exposure to the word of the Lord. He's went his own way. He's still a Jew, but he's really become, you know, he's working in the spirit of the Roman Empire, and that's gotten a hold of him. No doubt he's veered completely away from the things that he learned about the things of God and the law of God. But here, Jesus has come to his house, and now he's saying, I will restore fourfold. Where did he get that? From the law of God. The law of God. When you go back to the book of Exodus, it's also in Numbers that if you take advantage of someone and steal from them and take what is not yours, that according to the law, the Old Testament law, you were to restore it four times, fourfold it was to be restored. And so that just tells me that Jesus has come to Zacchaeus' house, and now the word of God has become important again. Amen. Let me tell you, that's a transforming thing when the Bible becomes important in your home. It's transforming. It really is. And when Jesus is invited into your house, then the word of God becomes important to you once again. Amen. I'm sorry to always go over these stories about my mother, but my mother was a person who read the Bible. She read the Bible to us. One vivid memory I have of her is that when I would get up in the morning before school, the Bible was open on the dining room table. She had been reading the Bible, and we would sit down to whatever the breakfast was that morning, and she would read the Bible to us. The Word of God became something important in our family. Whenever you invite Jesus into your home, God's Word will become important. Once again, in your household. Amen. And so, I don't know, something about this encounter that he had with Jesus, it stirred up the things of the law of God that had been in his heart and he'd heard as a young person, no doubt. And now he's bringing up, I'm going to restore fourfold all that I've taken advantage of. His bank account is shrinking. He's given half of it to the poor, and now all that he had stolen and taken advantage, he's giving back fourfold. Praise God, the word of God is now becoming important in the household. How important is the Bible? Let me tell you, God's word is valuable. It's valuable. From the Psalms, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the word of the Lord. There's a cleansing effect whenever the word of God becomes important in your household and in your family. Psalm 119 and 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Psalm 119 verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. The word of God has this cleansing, sanctifying impact upon your household and upon your family. Ephesians 5 and 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word of God. Praise God. Amen. When the word of God becomes important in your household and your family, it has a cleansing, sanctifying impact upon your household. Praise God. A lot of wonderful things happened to Zacchaeus, and now there's the pronouncement by Jesus. The pronouncement, this day has salvation come to this house. This day has salvation come
to this house. For as much as he also is a child of Abraham. Praise God. What did Abraham do? Well, Abraham was known because the scripture says that he commanded, I know him, the Lord said about Abraham. I know him, for he commands his children and his household after him that they should keep the way of the Lord. Praise God. What Jesus was saying about Zacchaeus was, he's going to be like Abraham. That not only is joy in his house, and not only is generosity in his house, and not only is the word of God once again important, but now he's going to command his family to serve God. He's going to direct them in the ways of the Lord. Let me tell you, when Jesus comes to your house, when salvation comes to your home, it can transform your family. Amen. We had, once again, a very vivid illustration of that this week whenever we had the funeral for Shonda Parker. And all the Parker family was there. And then Brother Maynard stood up to preach the gospel to his family. Amen. And God reached down when Maynard was just a boy and picked him up and saved him. It changed him. And now there's a Parker family in our church. And there's a ministry in our church. And God did it. God did it. And when Jesus comes into your home, it transforms your family. Amen. It completely transforms your family. That's the reason why that Shonda knew where to go the day before she died. Come right here to this church. Come right here to this foyer. And we talked with her, encouraged her, gave them a Bible. She wanted to come in here. She came into the sanctuary, came to the altar right here in front of this pulpit and knelt and prayed and cried out to God. She knew where to run. She knew where to go. And I'm telling you, it was because she had a grandmother and she had some family members that knew God, and she knew who to turn to. She knew how to reach out to the Lord. And God in his mercy, God in his faithfulness, was able to touch her heart and to do a work in her heart right here in this altar the day before she died. Praise God. What an amazing miracle that can happen whenever you invite Jesus into your household. Amen. When you invite him into your home can be changed. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you, Lord, for everybody that is in this service. And Lord, you know every heart and every need. And just pray, Lord, that everyone, every household, every family, every couple, Lord, they would be willing to invite you into their home, to invite you into their household. Lord, I know that when that happens, transformation is going to come. Lives are going to be changed. A family is going to be changed. The future is going to be changed, Lord, because we invite you into our household, into our family. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful promise of your goodness and your faithfulness to us today. Praise God. Why don't we stand, everybody? Praise God.